86.
Is it 86?
Yeah. My last one was 85. I guess we're going in order.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that'd be great to do a podcast and you just name all the episodes out of, or, you know, episode one is episode 500, then you go to like number 7 on the next one.
Yeah.
It's like, what kind of psychopath came up with this?
It's our millionth episode.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? No one can prove it.
Yeah.
They're just not online. What do they know?
Mm-hmm. I suppose if each podcast was a minute long,
yeah,
we'd probably be over a million by now since we started.
Yeah, yeah, true. So what's going on? Anything?
Yeah, I wrote down a few ideas.
Okay. Yeah, so how was the Savage Mountain thing?
It went really well. I was a little disappointed that there wasn't more people, and the people that were there seemed to be mostly the other bands and their entourage. But okay, a lot of times that's really bad, but this time it seemed like they were really into us. So
yeah. Well, that's definitely a plus.
Yeah, it was mostly people that we hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Although there was one guy who was telling us that, like, oh yeah, yeah, you guys were real good and everything. And he something like he had never like heard of us before. And then his wife is like, there's stickers on our fridge. Oh, I guess I haven't seen you. Wait, at the sandwich. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You played at the sandwich place last year. I guess I did see you.
Yeah, it's so strange because of the whole pandemic and thing. It's like being in a weird coma when you see, like, or like even run into people. Like, oh, I met you right before the pandemic or whatever.
Yeah,
it is strange. I kind of feel like that sometimes. Like, oh, I just woke up from a coma that was in for a year.
Yeah. Well, it's still going on.
Yeah, true. Now it's over, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's over for a lot of people. 600,000 of them.
It'll work out for them.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to Corriganville last month. The thing is, the numbers in Maryland are about the same as they are in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that vacation to West Virginia coming up in 2 weeks. And the numbers there aren't looking good, especially the places we're going.
Yeah. Well, that's not really surprising. So are you still going to go? Or are you thinking about canceling?
We're still thinking about canceling. I don't want to cancel like the day before we're supposed to leave, even though we could do that and get a refund.
Yeah.
But that's kind of cruel to the people who are kind of expecting that money, I think. So if we're going to cancel, I'd like to go ahead and cancel like in the next week. So yeah, they have at least a week. You know, I guess I can give them that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it looked like it might have been plateauing there for a while, but it's picked back up. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mean, that's definitely good to give them a heads up like that. But at the same time, I mean, you kind of do know the risks of doing that in a pandemic, you know, running out of place.
Yeah, you know, I think I could just about live with the risk as it is, but it's, what's it going to be like in 2 weeks? How much worse is it going to be? You can't predict it. And also, we weren't planning on doing much other than just sitting around the house and me taking really long walks.
Yeah.
Usually on a vacation like this, we spend like maybe 1 or 2 days visiting people, and 1 or 2 days doing stuff. Out of like 10 days, we probably spend at least 5 days just sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
So all we're gonna do is basically, you know, make sure that we go to visit the people on days when it's not supposed to rain so it can stay outside. And then we're going to just not do anything, basically.
Yeah.
Some people don't see how we can do that. Go to a new place and just sit around a rented house and eat and do the same kind of things that we'd do if we were at home. And then we're paying for the privilege. But yeah. I don't know. I love it.
You and your white privilege. Yeah. You could always buy yourself a hazmat suit off wish.com.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would be good.
Yeah, along with that bulletproof vest.
Yeah. Hey, they just don't have the plates in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Dame bought himself one of those.
Yeah, I know. Well, what's he going to do? Like, sew a bunch of like door hinges inside it?
No, I think he bought it because it was just a good, I think he only paid like $1 for it with the ship.
Well, so, yeah, I guess if it's a jacket that you could put bulletproof lining into, that's, you know.
Well, I have seen it, and it does have, you know, the area where you can put the plates in, but that's about, I still don't know if I would trust it, though.
Yeah. They do sell ones that have Kevlar lining that can at least stop a 22 bullet from a pistol, but a good winter coat could just about stop a 22 bullet from a pistol.
Yeah. You know, maybe I should start a business like that. Like, I'll take reclaimed tarps and I'll make a bulletproof vest out of them.
Yeah.
Listen, this is a reclaimed tarp from Jeff's carport.
Yeah. I remember watching some cop show, some about FBI files or something. This FBI informant was he went to what he thought was just going to be a regular meeting, but the mob was onto him. So he walks in and somebody shoots him in the head like 3 times with a 22. And he like gets up and like knocks the gun out of the guy's hand and storms out of the room. Like, what, you can't afford a 45?
Yeah, seriously. Just dust yourself off. Like, ow, that hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely not intending to kill somebody if you're going after them with a 22.
Yeah, I mean, you can.
Well, yeah,
I mean, you can kill somebody with a pocket knife. It's not really the ideal tool.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, if you're definitely going to kill somebody, you want something that's going to at least, you know, it's going to be able to finish the job.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, if you're a terrible shot, you never know, that person could survive.
Yeah. It depends on, you know, where you shoot the person, you know?
Yeah. So Savage Mountain was okay then, huh?
Yeah. Oh, the show went extremely well.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't have asked. I swear, whenever I'm up on stage and the audience is laughing at the jokes and cheering along, and especially, you know, obviously we're doing a song they know, like Lobotomy, and people are like, you know, pumping their fists along with me as I'm shouting Lobotomy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes me feel like I know what I'm doing. That's okay. I know I don't.
Yeah. You may want to think about covering, there's this pop song that's like on the charts right now. It's called Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo. And you should check that out. It's pretty ripe to be covered, especially for a punk band, because it's the song, when you listen to it, basically reminds you of like a slightly better version of Pat Benatar.
Yeah. Not Olivia Newton-John.
No. but check that song out, and there's a great part in where she's she just like screams like damn sociopath. It's like it's funny, but it just sounds like Pat Benatar, just like better, a little better. Yeah. I was never big into Pat Benatar anyway, so
yeah. Well, when all you had was a radio, then Pat Benatar, it's sort of like Billy Idol. It's like, yeah, this is fucking awesome. You know, and then you learn like what real punk is. It's like, wow, this is so much better.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, I guess as close as you got in those days, like pop chart wise, would be probably Joan Jett.
Yeah.
Because at least she actually sort of she made rock music, at least.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff, you know, it's normalization. If you never get to hear the good music, then the mediocre music. And yeah, that, I mean, Billy Idol, it's good. But, you know, it's not the Sex Pistols, is it?
Yeah.
It's just, if you never heard the Sex Pistols, then Billy Idol would be your number one.
Yeah. You know, so I'm not sure if we talked about this the last time or if we talked about it before. But when you really break down music, even of your favorite bands, how much of it is actually good?
Yeah.
Because, you can write a good song. Anyone can write a good song. I mean, not anybody, but you can write a good song. But I think the real question is like, really thinking about things is like, how much music is actually good?
Yeah.
And how much of it is just filler?
Yeah. And how much of it speaks to you?
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed is if you're talking about like the Ramones, every single person, pretty much every single Ramones fan in the world would agree that, what was it? The Pleasant Dreams is their worst album.
Yeah.
Guess what? Our bass player, that's his favorite album. I think not only by the Ramones, but like one of his favorite albums, period. Full stop. So what's filler to one person is going to be somebody else's favorite, even if it's only 1 out of 100.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, music is very much like comedy where it can be very subjective.
Yeah. I know. I've spent a lot of time thinking about this over the years, come to the realization that basically everything is overrated and yet everything is underrated.
Yeah. But too, the other thing is just how much of it is just, you know, filler.
Yeah.
Because it is really amazing when you think about it that a band can live off of one song for the rest of their career.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on the size of the hit, but if you have a pretty decent hit, it's amazing that you can milk that for a run of 30 years.
Oh, it depends on how big the hit is. I remember watching a Where Are They Now 20 years ago, and they had, it was like some guy was like painting the side of somebody's house. his song, what was it? Never Say Never came on the radio.
Yeah.
And there were these people, it's like, wow, the people that did that song must be rich. It's like, and I'm painting the side of this restaurant or wherever where these people are eating. Like, no, I think I maybe made enough money to buy a good used car from that song. You know, in the last year.
Yeah.
It definitely helps, but no, none of us got rich from any of that.
Yeah. Well, too, that depends, you know, the size of the hit depends who owns the publishing as well, too.
Yeah, and how good their deal was.
Yes.
It's surprising that he was even making money on it.
Well, then I think we could probably both agree that, okay, like if you have one hit, depending on the size of it, you could probably live off of it. So those percentages would be lower. But let's say if you're a band and you get 2 or 3 hits.
Yeah.
I would think at that point, especially depending on the deal structure and what you own on publishing or whatever, if you have 2 or 3, then I think you could definitely should be able to, a lot of bands can ride that out.
Yeah. Well, I was reading Jim Babchick from the Smithereens. Now, Of course, the singer wrote most of the songs, but he wrote several of the songs, like at least one song per album, and wrote one of the top 10 hits.
Yeah.
So he was making money, but they were still all making more money touring, and they just weren't touring enough to live the lifestyle that they had been living.
Yeah.
Sure. It's not like these guys were rich, but they were kind of like, certainly like upper middle class. And it's like, unless he wanted to sell everything and go and live sort of a lower middle class existence and tell his kids that they can't go to college, that kind of thing. Sure, he could have lived off the residuals.
Yeah.
But he ended up, you know, getting a day job. And the other guys in the band that didn't write any of the top songs are not doing as well. It's not like we're ever going to make any money, but we kind of agreed that we're going to split everything.
Yeah.
If not equally, then at least pretty close to equally.
Yeah. And it's good that you have that. And, you know, you got to at least be self-aware. And
yeah.
That has to be really frustrating if you're in a band. You're in one of those bands that's got like 10 fucking members.
Yeah.
And you have a hit song. Say everyone has a hand in the pie. There has to be some point, like one of the guys like, God damn it, I do.
Yeah. If you have one person who's basically carrying the band.
Yes.
Yeah. That really only works when you have multiple songwriters. Even if you have like me and Kirk write the majority of the songs. But, like for the last one I wrote, Fucked at the Drive-Thru, I only used like two lines from the bassist and the drummer, but we sat there at practice. I'm like, I need some more lines for this song. So we sat around and just throwing out ideas. And it was enough for me to finish the song and get good lyrics for every verse. So I didn't have like a filler verse.
Gotcha. Yeah, so that's the formula. Get two or three hits, then try and live off of it.
Well, nobody does that anymore. There's not any money in the music industry.
Yeah, I mean, they make money off touring. That's about it.
Yeah, bands always made the majority of their money off touring. And that money usually does get split evenly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's just that thought creeps into my head from time to time. It's like, how much music is really good?
Yeah. Another thing, I know I mentioned this before. Nikki Sixx was saying, people talk about like all the filler that was on this one album. It's like, you know, like, why couldn't more of the songs be like the hits? Why didn't you spend more time on them? It's like, asshole, we spent more time working on those filler tracks than we spent working on the single.
Yeah.
We came into the studio. I had like one or two ideas. Vince had one or two ideas. And so we had like maybe two, those were the singles, like two, maybe three songs pretty much already written. And we recorded them and polished them up in maybe a day. It's like, okay, now we have to do the entire rest of the album. That's where the entire month that we spent recording that album, 3 weeks was spent recording the songs that nobody liked.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's ever happy.
Yeah. Yeah, so calling it filler material is really kind of unfair.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you do work harder on your second grade material. At least most bands do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're just listening to it and have no idea what it takes to actually, you know, create the song and stuff like that,
yeah,
it's easy to say it's filler. Because, you know, most people don't, I guess they can't realize how much work it takes.
Yeah.
And like the hits, you know, you can have any example, a lot of examples throughout time. Is like a lot of the hits, it's just, they just happen to come to the person that's writing the song or something.
Yeah.
Or you just happen to stumble on that combination. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Then it just kind of all eases together or goes together. Because that's normally the story when you hear about bands when they write that hit song. It's not normally, oh, like we were just It was weeks and weeks onto this. Unless you're like, there's assholes in the band Boston.
Yeah.
I hate that guy so much. I don't even listen to Boston or have like any stake in that. But I just hate that guy so much.
Mm-hmm.
The guitarist, not the guy that killed himself.
Yeah.
Like the guy that killed himself, I would probably say the guy that killed himself is probably a direct result from the guitar being around the guitarist. But that's not an accusation. That's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never read any interviews with the guy. I read the Wikipedia article on him, and it sounded like an interesting person. So what do I know?
Yeah. Well, I've read one interview with him. This is like years ago. And I don't know. He's like just, he seemed very pretentious and an asshole.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we got to do things like this, and I'm playing this like over. It's like, so he just wants to come in and say, it doesn't fucking matter. You're Boston, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Play your fucking, your bar chords and your power chords and throw a solo, and those people will eat it up.
Mm-hmm.
I just always have a problem with these. Even with filmmakers, where like, I need like 10 years between each project.
Yeah.
It's like, do you? Because then you're waiting. The problem is then they create like all this like waiting and like sort of hype. Then when it happens, you've been waiting for so long. It's like, what is this, Chinese democracy or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, an artist and a musician or whatever you're creating, mm-hmm. but then you can easily walk into that pretentious asshole category.
Yeah, go too far in the other direction. You kind of need to find the balance between art and entertainment.
Yeah.
And too many people believe their own hype.
Yeah.
Reading their own press releases.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if a band like Boston came out today, they'd probably just be like a very little niche group.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, you know, what do I know? I mean, people still like Fish, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah, that's our bass player's other favorite band.
Yeah. Like the Fish.
I honestly don't know of any of their songs.
No. I don't think anyone. I mean, I guess if you're really into Fish, you probably do. But, you know, like Fish is kind of like EDM for people that like different drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Because just jam bands in general. I don't want to hear a 15 to 20 minute song. Or why are we paying to see you practice?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like it when a band takes maybe a simple song and stretches it out a bit and does a little bit of jamming, but I don't like it when it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to have a 10 minute bongo solo. I mean, do we really have to do this?
Yeah.
I just wonder if it's all like, you know, it's contractually obligated. Like, fuck, we got to give Bill his 15 minute bongo solo.
Yeah.
Or that's a breach of contract.
All right. Where do we fit the xylophone solo?
Who hired a guy for a xylophone? That should be the bigger question. Like, where the fuck do we pick this guy up at?
Yeah. I know. I saw somebody was talking about they went to a Radiohead concert and there was somebody playing the xylophones and shit. Like, how could you be into this? I liked their first album when they were kind of like a British Weezer.
Yeah. Yeah, their first album is phenomenal.
Yeah. And that's weird. It's like most people hate the first album and love everything, that, all the self-indulgent crap they did after that. It'd be like if Weezer did their second album and then just continued to do their second album over and over and over.
Yeah, I mean, if the pandemic kills one thing, if it ends Radiohead, then can we really say the pandemic was that bad?
Yeah. Or if it at least gets them to, you know, do like Radio or like Weezer and go back to the cheesy, heartfelt pop crap that they hated, that that the audience loved.
Yeah, I was like a band like that. I wonder what those guys are like just as regular people. Mm-hmm. Because the band is very pretentious in the music and stuff like that. But I just wonder what they're like as a band.
The singer's supposed to have the same, the pretender syndrome or whatever that I have. So he's probably pretty down to earth and a nice guy. It's like, yeah, our stuff's crap. I know I've seen interviews with him before where he dismissed his band as just pop music.
It's like, this pays the bills, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. The strange thing is I actually know people now that like Fish, and it bugs me. But I can say I haven't really run into anybody that's still a Radiohead fan.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm past the age where I'm no longer hurt by bad music.
Yeah.
You know, certainly if I go somewhere and they're playing modern country, I can't wait to get out of that place.
Yeah.
Where was I? Somewhere in Corriganville, they were playing modern country. It was like in Sheets or something. And it was every fucking song was just like, I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. Like, shut the fuck up. Okay, we get it. You have alcohol problems. Like, I'm a slobbering drunk looking for a codependent bitch to take advantage of. That was actually one of the songs. I paraphrased it a little.
Yeah. I was going to say that. It's like, I don't think it goes exactly like that. I mean, it'd be great if it did, but.
Yeah, if country music was honest.
Yeah, the frustrating thing about country is that it's just like, it's like the cadence and everything and the inflection in the voice. It's all the fucking same. Mm-hmm. Country music is mumble rap. Mumble rap and country music are the exact same thing.
Yeah. Now, the music itself is okay, in my opinion, if they sped it up like 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And certainly if you listen to it on YouTube and you hit like 50% speed increase, almost all pop music is a lot better. And the way the algorithms work these days, you can almost can barely tell that you sped it up. It just sounds like it was recorded that fast.
Yeah.
I mean, if you kind of like squint your ears a little bit, you know what I mean? You can pretend it was recorded at 180 beats a minute instead of 120.
Yeah.
So much music is better when you speed it up just a bit. It's like, other than like punk, which just gets way too fast. Anything that's already 180 beats a minute is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't understand the people that they just line up for it. It's like, this is the same thing. It's like a factory. Mm-hmm. And it's just one artist after the other. And they just, you know, now they give them like ooh, this is like Chase something or whatever. It's always now like all the country guys are like you know, they're all kind of like very buttoned up and you know, almost like male modelish, and they all have names like that, like Chase and I don't know, Burrow or I don't know. And I just don't get it. But who knows? I mean, people still, I mean, they're still putting out mumble rap. Mm-hmm. And it's literally, it's like, unless you're really, I guess maybe if you're really listening and really into it, you may be able to tell, you know, each person apart. But I think most people can't even tell between the audio, the same fucking beat, and the Tourette syndrome, and just the amount of pot those guys are smoking. It's like, can you at least go to cocaine for an album?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, any genre that you're not into will kind of sound the same. But yeah, it's bad when you're into a genre and it sounds the same.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if you take mumble rap and country and put it together, I think even people, I mean, you'd have to be like, I think the only way you can tell the difference is you'd almost have to be like an industry insider.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe someone that's really into it might be able to pick out the subtle nuances between singers.
Yeah. Or even if you could tell the difference between singers, can you tell, like with country, it's bands. Can you tell, you know, one guitar player from the next and who? You know, some guitar players have a real unique style, but with country, it's pretty much all the same studio musicians.
Yeah. Yeah. It's those five guys and they're not allowed to leave the studio. They're probably working Monday through Friday, like an 8-to-5 gig.
Yeah.
And like every 2 hours is like, oh, look, this is Chase. Hey, listen, this is a Brad, and in 2 hours, you're going to have a Chase. You mean like the Chase? It was just, no, like, this is a different Chase.
Yeah.
This guy's got brown hair. The other Chase had blonde hair. Ah, I get it. Yeah, those two genres, though, are, I would say they're exactly the same. I would place money on that easily. Oh yeah, speaking of money, have you been to the Sears? I mean the casino at the Galleria Mall?
No.
Yeah, we had to check it out because I was curious to see what a casino in a former Sears would look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it pretty much looks like any other casino you've been in.
I don't think I've ever been to a casino.
Oh, I mean, they're great places if you want to. If you're a big fan of watching people die right in front of your eyes, the casino is the place to be.
Yeah. Do you get to dismember them afterwards?
Yeah, you practically could.
Yeah.
See, for me, I like, I don't. I'm not a gambler, not a big gambler, but I like being in places like that because there's, for me, it feels like there's just a lot of despair and people seem miserable.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes me happy. I mean, not to the point like I want something to happen to, but like I walk in there like, yeah, everything's falling apart. It's like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing. I mean, just imagine how good the casinos are going to be doing if Yang ever becomes president and gives people $1,000 a month. Just wire the money straight to the casino.
Yeah. Hey, you never know. You might turn that $1,000 into $1,100.
Yeah.
Of course, though, you know, to be fair, though, that's still better interest than a savings account.
Yeah. But a savings account is an investment account. It's a savings account. I'll show you. Set up an account on Vanguard.
Hey, you have to set up an account. You don't have to. But the strange thing about casinos is they're so bright. And it's even worse now since everything is all electronic.
Yeah.
I don't think that at least I didn't see any in there, but they didn't even have like the old style slot machines.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you see that in some of the other like casinos you go in, and they all have, you know, like the fancy bright colored ones now with the computer screens and the LED lights. But then they, like a lot of those places will still keep like a section of just the old school like pool. But I didn't see any of those. So if you're looking to gamble, go to Sears. I mean, the Galleria.
Yeah. Yeah, the one local venue got closed down. Of course, it was just in somebody's garage.
Oh, yeah. I seen the Skid Row, right?
Yeah. The guy set up, the guy set up a GoFundMe for like asking for $25,000. He made it in about 22 hours.
Yeah, I seen that. It's really good.
Yeah. See, this is what happens like in like a real punk scene with poor people. They'd still be up to like $250. But you know, in York, where it's mostly like bougie suburban dads trying to reclaim their youth, it's like, yeah, we got plenty of money.
So is the plan just to upgrade that place?
No, he's gonna find a new place.
Okay. He's going to say that makes more sense.
Yeah. I thought it would make even more sense to just become a promoter, but I mean, I saw the pictures of like their reopening and they were having stuff like in the parking lot and setting off fireworks downtown. You're just asking to get shut down, guy.
I mean, that's cool that people are supporting it. So at least you know there's a scene there.
I don't think this was his plan all along, but certainly he's talking about like, I'm going to try to get a real venue with real proper licenses and insurance and things. He actually mentioned that at the GoFundMe. This will be properly insured. Maybe he'll even have a bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, like, people, I would never want to own a comedy club just because I don't want to do the day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
I find that incredibly boring. And especially if you run a club, it's like if you have food and things like that, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I like putting together shows and just doing it like that for now, but
yeah, being a promoter, not a an actual club owner.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just a lot involved when you own a club, any type of club.
Yeah. A lot of responsibilities.
Yeah. I mean, between insurance, then, you know, because you got to protect the asset that you're investing in.
Yeah.
Shit like that. Yeah, that's not me. Then I have to worry about fixing shit.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Because shit's always going to be broke.
Because
people are animals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be at a comedy club.
Yeah.
Once you're in a rock and roll club, you're just asking for disaster.
Yeah. I watched this this special this one comedian did, Rory Scovel, and he just put it out. And what he did, he did six shows at this club in Atlanta, like a small club in Atlanta. And he did six shows, and he had no plan for any of the shows. Nothing. No material ready. He just walked into each one and wrote it out. Because it's just something he wanted to see if he could do. And so, I mean, that's kind of crazy. But then at the same time during this, there's this other narrative of the club that he did this show at. And because I think Rory was helping this guy out because of the whole pandemic and shit. And so this guy was operating this comedy club. And that's a fascinating story in itself, too, because the guy who owns the club was explaining, like, they had the building, they were renting, he had this place, and he was renting it. Then the person who owned the building sold it, and they didn't tell him, or they just gave him, like, a ultimatum, like, just get out now. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the city council and started getting people involved, but he kept running the club. And he was like, yeah, we didn't have power for a bit. So I was like running extension cords across the street. And I had generators going. And he was doing all this stuff. And like as it went on, I get closer to the end. He's like, yeah, now I got the proper permits and licensing and things like that. So it was just funny to hear the guy's like, so I should be like running the club like I'm actually supposed to by legal standards. Mm-hmm. People will do anything.
Yeah. Well, obviously you can't be doing this kind of thing for money.
Yeah. Yeah, you really can't. You can only hope. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it's not surprising.
Yeah, you can start a podcast.
Yes, like everybody. But not an OnlyFans anymore, apparently.
Did that come through? I hit mute.
What? What?
Well, then it worked. I had to cough.
Okay.
Wow, this has a remote. I can hit mute.
But yeah.
Yeah, speaking of podcasts, the new Jeopardy host was fired for nasty things he said on podcasts.
Yeah, I read that. That's so bizarre.
Yeah.
When he just got the gig, they're like, yeah, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
I didn't even see what he said. Was anything really that bad?
Yeah, the thing is, people are already pissed off at the guy because he's an executive producer on the show and then basically bought his way as the host.
Yeah. But
so I think people were looking for an excuse to get rid of him as much as anything else.
But at the same time, wouldn't all of us do that? Wouldn't you put yourself in as a host?
I don't know.
Sure. It looks a little bad at first, but like, man, this is a paying gig. I get it.
Well, if it looks bad, it is bad, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta read that more because I'm curious to see what he said. Because I have issues when this shit goes down and like, oh, he said this. It's like, well, is that really that bad?
One thing is, on a podcast, a lot of times I say things on this one I don't necessarily believe in. I'm just trying to stimulate conversation. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, I'm going to play devil's advocate. No, I'm just going to say something, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. And this whole thing, like, people are people. And yeah, I mean, context is everything.
The thing is, if the advertiser doesn't like you, you're out.
Yes.
So if they basically call the shots. So if you do anything that's really controversial.
Yeah. I just wonder what so in the future, you shouldn't say anything. And I wish we could just get away from this stop. I think as a, you know, as a society, we need to, we just got to get, people aren't perfect and people are going to say dumb things and they're going to have dumb things in their past as they should.
I think the problem is that we don't give people an opportunity to make good on it.
Yes.
One mistake and you're out. I don't have a problem necessarily with somebody losing their job. It's just, they should be allowed to get their job back after they like, you know, go to sensitivity training for 6 months, you know?
Yeah. And for me, I hate that we still, for certain jobs and stuff, that there's like this whole image thing and like, oh, like this person needs to be pure to do this job. It's like, really? Why does it fucking matter?
Yeah.
As long as you're not hurting anybody, you're doing something that's illegal. You know, if you're into something kinky, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with you being able to do a job?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the thing that really bothers me is the no second chances. If you made one mistake 30 years ago, oh, you're screwed. Oh, you told, what was that one presidential candidate that told one blowjob joke back in the 80s?
Yeah.
And of course, now he actually got on stage and just totally blew it and could not debate.
Yeah.
So that's why he ended up not getting the nomination. He just wasn't any good. Bloomberg. Bloomberg. That's who it was.
Yeah. Yeah, because I personally, I don't want to be around people that claim that they're pure. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, I don't do anything wrong. It's like, those people are usually the worst people to be around with.
Yeah.
For one, they're no fun. And then two, you know, a lot of times they wind up being hypocrites and they're just fucking boring.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing for fun?
Getting angry at people that aren't pure.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's pure. That's like the biggest joke of them all. We want pure people. There are no pure people on Earth. And if there are, they're usually up to something fucking nefarious.
Yeah.
Did you see the story? I mean, I don't know. It's like the Catholic Church has a comedy writer and they need to put out bits occasionally where there's a story that broke that it's not surprising that priests were using Grindr to meet up with people.
Yeah.
But when you read it, it's not surprising. It's like, oh, okay. Well, they were, you know, a lot of these people were banging kids. I mean, being on Grindr, that's not so bad. We kind of expected it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it funny is that if someone is shocked about that, it's like, oh, wait, first now these kids, oh, and now Grindr?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
already did the worst thing. Doing something a little less worse, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. They're working their way back. All right, we did the thing that was terrible. Now we're going to do something that you might see as bad, but it's really not that bad. We just like banging dudes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. The Catholic Church can be saved in 5 minutes. All the Pope has to do is like come out as like, listen, the kid thing, get it, it's bad. But a lot of these guys, they love blowing dudes. So we love it.
Yeah.
We don't care. You know, swallow and read your Bible. Move on. That might be deemed offensive to somebody. I don't know. At least, hey, my wife's Catholic.
Yeah.
So I can say that because my wife's Catholic. And I've been to many Catholic events and they're all pretty bad.
Oh, did you go to the blessing of the bikes and get your car blessed?
And like, I've been to a confirmation and, once again, too long and just whatever.
Get to the punchline.
Yeah, exactly. And a wedding, a Catholic wedding is worse. It's like if you're Catholic and you're having a Catholic wedding and you're inviting people, it just means you hate those people in your life. A wedding should be like 10, 15 minutes, not an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Or is it like Laura say, well, they do a mass too. It's like, it's completely unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, a Catholic wedding, instead of an Elvis impersonator, they should have a Pope impersonator. Over and done, 5 minutes, $5.
Yeah. Catholics, right? uh,
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that. Have a Pope impersonator in Vegas marrying people.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Yeah, awesome. Yeah, yeah. So go to your Catholic weddings if you want to. If you want to be bored to death.
Yeah.
I was going to say something, but I fucking forgot. I don't know.
The only other thing I have is that General Mills released the Monster cereal in early August now.
What's the
Boo-berry, Count Chocula, yeah, the Halloween cereals.
Okay.
Yeah, and they released it like almost a month ago. So basically, should we put our Christmas decorations up now or wait until Labor Day? That's what I've been thinking.
Yeah. Well, fuck, you got that. And pumpkin spice is everywhere.
I'm cool with pumpkin spice. I think that's kind of here to stay. People like it.
I don't think anyone likes it.
No, it was a novelty for the first couple of years, but people realized that it just works. Because pumpkin spice, it's just like cinnamon and nutmeg. It's not pumpkin. It's the spice that you put into a pumpkin.
Yeah, but it's still terrible. It's I rank the pumpkin, like the pumpkin spice shit, right up there with peach flavoring. It's like, can we stop? It's just terrible. Like peach tea and just anything with peaches. Because if you notice, like if you ever buy like drinks or anything that's like a combo pack, there's always like a peach flavor in it because no one fucking loves it.
Oh, I kill for it, man. If I could get peach pop here. That's part of the reason why we're going to West Virginia, so I can stock up on peach pop. I'm going to fill the trunk of my car with it, man. I'd put it into the radiator if I could.
So you're drinking just like pure peach soda?
Oh, yes.
I don't know how you get that's nasty.
Peach knee high is like drinking from the nipple of God.
No, this stuff just reminds me too of like diet iced tea. It's pointless. It's just
nasty. I quit drinking all tea because it seems to make my tinnitus worse.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's tea. Coffee, I can shotgun it, but it's like a slightly different kind of caffeine in tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's chemically related. It's a type of caffeine, but it's a little bit different. Or maybe it's one of the other ingredients in the tea.
Yeah. The only tea I drink, really, like if I'm out, occasionally I will buy a Lipton, like green tea citrus. I really like that.
Yeah.
But like at home, I either drink water or like in the mornings, like I like hot tea, like hot black tea with just some lemon in it. Yeah. That's it.
Every time I've tried to kick pop, I've either put on like 40 pounds or gone back to pop within 2 weeks.
Yeah, I rarely drink soda anymore.
Yeah.
Laura is more of a soda drinker than I am.
Yeah. I did switch to 2 liters.
Yeah.
You make a lot less. There's a lot less in the recycle bin.
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped. I can't really drink a lot of this soda anymore because it's like, because I don't, since I've haven't really been drinking it for several years now, like when I do drink, it's so like sugary sweet.
Yeah.
I can't drink it. It just tastes nasty because it's like, ugh, I'm just drinking like liquid sugar.
I know when you get used to drinking diet pop, it's hard to go back to drinking regular pop because it's so heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was never big into diet soda because I never liked the taste of them.
Yeah, it depends on the diet soda. A lot of them, like the like Mountain Dew, for instance, actually has a tiny little bit of actual sugar in it.
Yeah.
So that makes it's pretty much indistinguishable. Whereas something like Dr. Pepper, it's pretty obvious if it's diet Dr. Pepper or regular.
Yeah. Will you try the alcoholic Mountain Dew that's coming out, the hard Mountain Dew?
No. I don't even remember the last time I had alcohol other than just to taste it.
Yeah. I will, when that comes out, I probably will buy one because I'm just curious to see how it tastes. Very curious.
It'll probably taste like Mountain Dew with industrial thinner in it. That's kind of the way I feel about most alcohol. If I'm going to drink alcohol, I'm just going to drink alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't even drink that much anymore. Like, I have some beers here and there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, the most I drank was, in a long time, was our... my trip out to Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was the most beer that I had drank in probably 2 years or more.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that much.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a little bit of beer is actually good for you. You know?
Yeah, you just can't be downing. You're not supposed to be downing like a six every night.
Yeah. Well, even just one or two a night adds up.
Yeah. That's just like wine. You have one with dinner.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Even one adds up.
But it depends on how active you are and how you drink, too.
Yeah.
Because, if you're just drinking to get, like, hammered, that's a different drink. That's a different drink style than just like, I want to drink beer throughout the day with myself.
Yeah. Yeah, everything in moderation. Small amounts of stuff can be good for you, and then it starts to turn bad pretty quick.
Yeah, because I do like having beer depending with with food and stuff I'm eating. But most of the beer that I drink now, I'm pretty much just when I do drink beer, I'll drink Corona.
Yeah.
Because I don't like a big heavy, like lager, heavy beer. It's not for me. And I'm not drinking Bud Light because I already drink water. So what's the point?
Yeah.
Then I tried one of those hard seltzers, those things. Like, I don't know why people are drinking, just dump them in the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're meant to be used with some sort of mix.
No, they're because it's the healthy way of drinking. It tastes like, to me, they taste like flat soda.
Yeah.
Like the type of flat soda, like, all right, I left this out for 2 days and now I'm going to drink it.
Yeah.
That type of flat soda. Minus a fly. That's the worst when you leave a soda out for a while and you forget and you're like, yeah, maybe I'll taste it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a good taste. I think we did it. I think we did an hour. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna go buy some My Pillows today?
No.
I just wonder if there's people that work for this guy and they're like, are we sure this guy can even sign his name?
Yeah.
You got to be pissed if you work at that company. Like, thanks.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's he done recently?
I don't know. I think it just this shit is falling apart.
Yeah.
I think that's occasion because he's still popping up here in the news. I guess stuff happens, but I think that business is slowly falling apart on him.
Yeah. Don't get involved in politics. Or if you do, just, you know, sort of generally from the sidelines, you know, you can promote like values or whatever, and it's heavily implied which candidate you support. But if you go out and actively campaign, it's probably going to backfire.
Yeah. Yeah, we and people have a real problem for some reason. They're like, if this guy is a businessman, that means he must know stuff. It doesn't mean that at all. You can still be a fucking moron and own a business.
Yeah.
I remember there was a company that owned the Titanic too.
Yeah. All right, so I guess this has been couch. What did I say it was 86?
Something like that. Yeah, and something.
We thank both of you for listening.
Yeah, all two of you. Hey, what do you want?
Yeah, good. Support our GoFundMe.
This is top tier entertainment.
Yeah.
Whether we're making mumble rap or country music.
Yeah, mumble podcasts.
All right, then I guess we should end, huh?
All right. So we'll talk to you next month, and you can't talk back to us.
Yeah, exactly. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.